Hebrews chapter 3, please. We want to welcome all of our guests today to Faith Baptist Church, everyone who's visiting today. We're so thankful to have you with us, and we hope the Lord will encourage you through His Word today as well. Hebrews chapter 3. And would you notice what the Scripture says in verse 13? Hebrews 3, verse 13. God tells us, "But exhort one another daily, while it is called today, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin." Would you join me in a moment of prayer? Thank you so much, Father, for allowing us to see these baptisms, to partake in the Lord's table. Thank you now for an opportunity to open the wonderful words of life. We pray that you would pour out a spiritual blessing upon each who know Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, and that you'd help those who don't understand the wonderful gospel to have their eyes open today, that they might believe on you, Lord Jesus, and be saved. Guide us, we pray, by your Holy Spirit. We ask this in Jesus' wonderful name. Amen. Recently, I made a trip to our physician, our doctor, our family doctor, for a physical. Hadn't had a physical exam in a while. And so they checked everything. They checked my heart. They said it's still beating. They checked my lungs. I was still breathing. They checked my ears. I was still hearing after they pulled out a little earwax. And then I said, "Oh, now I've got to listen to my wife every time she speaks." Just kidding. Just kidding. I did not say that. They checked my eyes. They checked my blood pressure. They withdrew blood to check my cholesterol and to check other things. I mean, they did everything. You name the test, they did the test. And it's important. It's important to get a physical exam, isn't it? I think it's important to have a medical checkup and a physical checkup. It's important to have your teeth checked as well and have a dental exam. Make sure there's no cavities or nothing that would rot your teeth away. All of us are concerned about our physical well-being, and we rely upon other people to help us with this. I thank the Lord for good doctors who can help us when we need that physical help. But you know, there's a checkup that all of us ought to receive that very few people ever think about. And that's a spiritual checkup. Not going to a priest or a pastor necessarily, but going to a fellow Christian and being able to say to a brother, "How you doing? How's your walk with the Lord? Did you read your Bible this week? Did you have time with the Lord in prayer? How are you doing with your walk with Christ? Are you morally pure? Are you seeking to live a clean life?" And asking each other's questions like this. How are you doing in your walk? Do you know such questions are rarely ever asked by Christians? And yet the Bible teaches us that there ought to be a friend who confronts a friend in love. "For iron sharpens iron, so a man sharpens the countenance of his friend." We rely upon physicians for medical checkups, but God would have us go to a good friend and hold each other accountable and have checkups on each other out of love. Not pharisaical manner, but in love, in grace, in concern, in prayer, that we would have relationships where we could hold each other spiritually accountable. I believe that's one of the greatest lacks in churches today. We have churches that will have good preaching, good music, good standards, but many of these churches have no interpersonal relationships among the body of Christ. The people come to church on Sunday, they sit in a pew, they hear a message, they sing some songs, and then they go their way, never again to think about the other saints until they see them again next week. No prayer, no phone call, no email, no checkup. Do you know something? I believe God wants us to change. God wants all of us to change in this way. And I believe God is going to do something great at Faith Baptist Church as we do what God has wanted us to do all along, and that is to have biblical accountability. Do you know even the world recognizes the need for accountability? Even unsaved people understand the need for support groups. Alcoholics Anonymous, for example, utilizes the positive force of peer pressure. Accountability. A help for those who are struggling with addictions. But I believe the greatest support group in the world is the one that God designed. And that is the local church. It is the people of God, the assembly of the saints, that provides the greatest support group that can be offered to man. By the way, that's one reason why we gather. That's why we're here today. That we might truly provoke one another unto love and to good works. We don't just gather to sing a song and hear a message. We gather to provoke each other unto love and to good works. But honestly, very little spiritual provocation ever goes on in the average church. John Wesley believed in it. This message, by the way, is going to be a two-parter. I'll never get through everything today. I've got 12 points plus here. And so we will continue this next week, so don't panic. But the Lord wants us to form accountable relationships with each other, and you can't do that sitting at home. You can't do that on a golf course alone. Now, you can bring a friend out and play some golf. And how you doing, my buddy? How you doing with your walk with the Lord? Yeah, you can do that. But God has created the local church where God's people can gather on a consistent basis to gain friendships. We give you that opportunity here at Faith Baptist Church. Sort of have a unique schedule where after the morning service we gather together for fellowship time and a light lunch, and that affords us the opportunity to get to know each other, gain a friend, and have a weekly gracious, loving checkup, which is what we all need. We all need a spiritual friend. David had a friend in Jonathan who held him accountable. They held each other accountable. They both loved the Lord. They both had great faith in God. After Jonathan passed away, he also had a friend who had to rebuke him, and that was his friend Nathan, the prophet. Timothy had a Paul. Paul had a Barnabas. God wants all of us to have somebody that we can pray for. Somebody that we can hold accountable in a good way. Now, why do we need accountability? I believe that accountability provides a strong deterrent to secret sin. I believe that if God was to allow us to be honest, transparent, open, that we could have a friend that we can confide in who would hold us accountable for sins nobody else knows about. But how are you doing, my friend, with your secret life? Your TV watching practices, your internet browsing. How are you doing in your life in terms of having a daily time with the Lord? How are you doing with your commitments and promises that you make? I believe accountability provides a great deterrent to secret sin. It also provides mutual encouragement and prayer support. And all of us need that. We need a friend who will hold us spiritually accountable and encourage us. Because let's face it, all of us are in a world that will tear apart the moral virtue of somebody who wants to live for God. You will be torn at, you will be tempted, you will be tried, and the world will bombard you with messages to try to take your heart away from a close walk with God, a close relationship with the Lord. I believe we need accountability to reinforce positive behavior and faithfulness, as I said, to our commitments. I believe we need accountability to remind us, to remind ourselves, that we all share the same struggles and that no temptation is the unique experience of any one individual. We often think, well, I must be the only one going through this. And you know, when you have a friend that is honest and open with you, you find out very quickly, you know, you're not the only one struggling with that particular vice. The Bible says, there hath no temptation taken you, but such as is common to man. And so we all experience the same thing. We all have the same sin nature. We all live in the same world, and we all have the battle with the world, the flesh, and the devil. And so don't think you're unique. When you have a friend who will hold you accountable, you're reminded of this. Now, you say, why do I need somebody else? I've got the Lord. The Lord is the one who keeps me faithful. Well, you know, that's true. It is the Lord. The Lord is the one who will keep us true to our word and faithful to our commitments and pure in our moral life. Obviously, it's God. But did it ever occur to you that God has chosen to use His people to get His work done? For example, let's take evangelism. How does God bring people to Himself? Does He speak with an audible voice, with a sound of thunder to grab people's attention? No. He uses you and me to share the gospel. And as people hear the gospel and believe, they are saved. God did the saving. We don't take any credit. It's all of God. But God has chosen to use the instrumentality of people to lead others to Himself. And that's bearing fruit, and fruit that remains. And he that winneth souls is wise. May the Lord use all of us in evangelism. But you know, it's not only evangelism in which God uses His people. He uses His people to encourage other believers to live for God, to walk with the Lord. And that's our topic for today and next week. How God can use you and me to confront, to remind, to lovingly rebuke, to teach, to encourage other people. Now, Cain, remember Cain who slew his brother Abel? He sarcastically said to God, "Am I my brother's keeper?" Well, the answer to that question is, if you're a believer, yes. You are responsible for your life, but you're responsible for your brother as well, in a sense. Because we're family. You know, you've seen perhaps some programs on TV where a family would have, what does that one family have? 15, 16 kids? How many? 14? Well, that's one show. I think I've seen another one where they have like 15 or 16. And I'm going to take this off. It's getting hot up here. And those shows remind us of the importance of a family working together. And you see, that family could not function unless the children got involved in helping with their siblings. Right? I mean, you can't do it. I mean, a mother cannot take care of 14, 15 children without help. And so all the brothers and sisters, they help. They help bring in the groceries. They help clean the house. They help with food preparation. They help change the baby's diaper. They help clean up the spills. They all must work together for that family to survive. Now, I didn't grow up in a family with that many siblings. We had four. I was the oldest of four. And being the oldest of four, I had, as typical with the firstborn, the responsibility to take care of my two younger brothers and my sister. If my parents were away, the job fell on Vinny's shoulders to make sure that the kids were fed, that the dishes were washed, that the kids got to bed on time, that they didn't escape the house while the parents were away at night. And I've got stories to tell about that one. But it was my job to be responsible for my family. If one of my brothers or my sister would ever be confronted by somebody who wanted to beat them up, then they're going to have to beat me up. Because that's my brother, that's my sister. And we're family. And we care for one another. But you know, we live in a society where there's so much self-centeredness. People are out for themselves with their own best interests in mind, living for number one, which is themselves, where we really don't care about anybody else. We don't care about how others are doing like we should. But you know, the Bible says in Romans 12, so we being many are one body in Christ, and everyone members one of another. Every one of us are members one of another. Today we saw five people share their testimony, be baptized, and to become an official member of Faith Baptist Church. That gives you the right to vote as a member of our church, to have say in the business meetings at Faith Baptist Church. That gives you the opportunity to serve in various ministries at Faith Baptist Church, whether it's teaching in Sunday school or working in the nursery or singing in the choir or whatever it may be. Now that you're a member, you have the opportunity to do those things. But do you know, before you joined our church, the very minute you put your faith in Jesus Christ, you became a member of the body of Christ. The Bible says we are members one of another. Think about your physical body. How you have different parts, but they're all joined together. Aren't you glad? Glad the elements are still there, joined together. And every part of your body does a job to help to minister to some other part of your body. It's all intertwined. And one element of the body does a service for another part of the body. I'm not going to get into anatomy and I'm not going to get into biology today. You can study that on your own. But God uses the analogy of the body and the interdependence of each part ministering to other parts of the body to remind us of what we are as a church. We are a body of believers who need contact with other parts of the body. And you know something? Everybody thinks, oh, that's the pastor's job. Do you want to know something? It's all of our job. Yes, the pastor has to set direction and give instruction and lead and preach and pray and teach. But you know, the pastor has to encourage the saints to do the work of the ministry. And as all of the body parts are doing their function, then you have a healthy body. And you have growth. And you have the saints performing ministries and imparting blessings to each other. We are members one of another. We need each other. No believer is an island unto himself. No part exists for itself, but for the assistance of some other body part. And so, I'm so thankful that we're a family, that we are a body of believers, and that we can have what I call Christian or biblical accountability with each other. What is accountability? What does it look like? What does it do? Well, I'd like to just maybe cover one or two points of our 12 today. And I'd like us to begin in our text in Hebrews chapter 3 to remind us that accountability involves encouragement. Look at Hebrews 3, verse 13. The Lord says, "But exhort one another daily, while it is called today, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin." The word exhort is the word parakaleo, which is a word used of the Holy Spirit, who is our comforter, our encourager. The Lord says that we are to encourage one another. You see, the encourager, the Spirit of God, uses human vessels to encourage His people. And all of us need our faith to be encouraged. We all need a Barnabas in our life. We all need to be encouragers, to lift up those who fall, to strengthen those who are weak. Do you know God commands us to comfort those who are distressed? 2 Corinthians 1:3 says, "Blessed be God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and the God of all comfort, who comforteth us in all our tribulation, that we may be able to comfort them which are in any trouble, by the comfort wherewith we ourselves are comforted of God." God comforts you so that you could comfort somebody else. That's part of accountability. We form relationships for the purpose of encouraging one another. We are to repair those who are broken by sin, to mend each other. As Galatians 6:1 says, "Brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault, ye which are spiritual, restore such a one in the spirit of meekness, considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted. Bear ye one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ," which is the law of love. My friend, we have a job to do. We need to mend those that are hurting. That's part of why we need accountable friendships. We are to convert those who go astray from the truth. James 5:19, "Brethren, if any of you do err from the truth and one convert him, let him know that he which converteth a sinner from the error of his way shall save a soul from death and shall hide a multitude of sins." My friend, that's all encouragement. Encouragement goes up to a brother and like a Jonathan up to a David and just encourages him to keep going, to not quit, to stay faithful, to fulfill your promises, your commitments. We need encouragement. You know, as long as I'm on this earth, that's what I want to do. If I don't do anything else, I hope by preaching, teaching, counseling, witnessing, I can encourage faith and encourage faithfulness. Because people need it. They get discouraged by people at work, beat up, ridiculed, made fun of. We need to encourage one another. That's why we form accountable relationships for mutual encouragement. And that's what God commands. He says, exhort one another. Secondly, accountability is reciprocal. In other words, it's mutual care and concern for each other. Did you notice he says, exhort one another? That tells me that church is not just a place where the pastor encourages, it's a place where the people encourage one another. The people exhort one another. Do you know we have too many people that will badmouth, gossip, tear down, split apart, ridicule, and do the devil's work by slander. What we need are godly people who are going to encourage each other in the Lord. The phrase one another emphasizes the reciprocal nature of the encouraging. It's something we are to do for each other. We all need each other. We need mutual dependency. And you know, that's the way the original church was. That's the way the early church was. If you went into the early church, you'll find that when the people got together, that there was interaction. There was communication. There were friendships. You go into a lot of your denominational churches today, and you don't find this. The people don't even know who's sitting in the pew next to them. They don't know their name. They don't know their address. They don't know their kid's name. They don't know. And so certainly they don't know what they're struggling with because they don't even know them. But may the Lord help us to do better at Faith Baptist Church. May you be a person who gets to know others in this church. Don't just know your little niche of friends, but get to know others so that you could be a blessing one to another. In most churches, there's a coldness. The people come in, they hear a sermonette, if they hear anything, and then they leave. And there's no interaction, there's no connectedness with the body of Christ. Nothing shared, nothing given. Nobody knows about each other and nobody cares. That's not a biblical church. A biblical church is where we will exhort one another, where there is accountability one to another. If you study the one another's in the Bible, you'll find that we are to honor one another, love one another, edify one another, bear with one another, please one another, unite with one another, accept one another, and we are to admonish one another. And that's just found in the book of Romans alone. We need each other. If you fail to gather with God's people, and if you fail to come in contact with other believers, you will fail. Because God commands us to exhort one another. How often? Continually, daily. Notice what he says. But exhort one another, what's the next word? Daily. The word daily emphasizes the continual need for encouragement. Not just once a week, where we gather once a week and Sunday morning and that's the end of it all. And it's not just once a year where we show up for Easter. You know, and that's the end of it. No, we are to do this encouraging ministry on a frequent basis. And it's so important that God says you need it daily. Say, how can I get it daily? Well, for one thing, if you're married, you ought to be encouraging to your spouse on a daily basis. If you have children, you ought to be encouraging them on a daily basis. But the Lord would have all of us, even as believers, have more frequent contact, continual communication on a frequent basis. For example, you could mail a card. You could use the phone. You could send an email. The Lord wants us to come in contact with each other on a continual basis. You know, one person can't do all that. People think that's the pastor's job. And it is. But you know what, folks? This verse says we're to do it one to another daily. We are to have a ongoing, continual communication, and that makes up accountable relationships. Accountability is necessary, vital, to keep our hearts right with God. Look at what he says in verse 13. But exhort one another daily while it is called today, lest any of you be what? Hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. Sin has a hardening effect. We provoke each other unto love and to good works so as to live holy and godly. And such accountability keeps our hearts soft. Sin has a hardening effect on our hearts. It hardens us against God. It hardens us against loving God and loving others. Sin hardens us against obeying God. We become stubborn. We want our own will, our own way. Jesus said, Moses, because of the hardness of your hearts, suffered you to put away your wives. It was because of hardness of heart that divorce occurred. But you know, every time we give in to a sin, we become more and more calloused to the sin, more and more insensitive to that sin, less and less afraid of its damaging effects, and our hearts become, with time, hard. But I'll tell you what, when you gather with friends like at Faith Baptist Church, your heart can become soft toward God. Soft toward His Word, like soil that is tender, that has been cultivated and broken up so that the seed can penetrate and produce fruit. But you see, the Word of God says we need to exhort one another daily while it is called today, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. Sin is a deceiver. Sin says, you can flirt with me and not be hurt. You can dabble with me and not be affected. When we were downstairs working on the basement, I remember one night we were mixing up epoxy. And you know, there are two elements that are very soft. They're like paint. It's like paint. But when you mix the two together, all of a sudden, a chemical reaction begins to occur. By the way, if you ever use epoxy, when you mix them together, pour it all out right away and begin spreading it right away. But get it poured out right away. Because if you don't, it will start to get hot. Gases will start to emit. It will begin to boil, and then in just a minute, it'll turn into hard rock material. We learned that on one bucket. That was no fun. But you know, that's the way sin is. Sin will enter a heart. And when the sin and the heart get together, a hardening effect occurs. And that's why we need to gather. That's why we need accountability, so that sin does not harden us. It's deceitful. The condition of our hearts will determine our receptivity to God's Word. Cement is workable when it's soft. Clay is moldable when it's soft. Plaster or compound is pliable when it's soft. Bondo plastic filler for your dents in your car works well when it's soft, but once it's hardened, can't work with it. Done. Throw it out. It's good for nothing. Do you know, my friend, God wants to work with us, but He works with hearts that are soft, pliable, moldable. That's why we need accountability, to keep each other's heart from getting hard. You see, if God is going to alter us and grow us and mature anything in our lives, we have to have tender hearts. We cannot grow insensitive to the still small voice of God. Question for you. Has your reception become calloused? Are you as easily moved or touched or affected by God's Word as you used to be? If not, then God needs to tenderize your heart. And maybe God brought you here today for that purpose. Because you know you're not as soft as you used to be. You know that you're calloused and you're hard. But you know God uses His Word to break down that hardness and does a miracle of making that hardened, epoxied heart soft again. That's a miracle God does. And you know what else? God uses people in the process. God wants to use you. Would you be willing to say to the Lord, Lord, here am I, send me, use me, make me a real friend to somebody. Help me to have an accountable friendship with someone that I could be a blessing to. And may they be a blessing to me. Would you join me in a moment of prayer? We are truly grateful, Father, that you have allowed us to consider these thoughts and to begin this study on accountability. We pray in the wonderful name of our Lord Jesus that you will help us to be a biblical church and help each member to be a real friend and have real concern and compassion to others. Help us to be an encourager like the Holy Spirit is to us. And Lord, help us to care that nobody else becomes hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. Before I conclude my prayer, how many in this room would say, the Lord spoke to my heart today, and God helping me, I'm going to fulfill my responsibility to be committed to one another. I want to be a Christian who's accountable and who has friends that I can hold accountable. Would you raise your hand if that's your desire to be a blessing, to be an encourager, to be a Barnabas? May the Lord use you in a wonderful way. Father, help us to provoke one another unto love and to good works. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.